Revelation chapter number 5, we find John the Revelator, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was blessed and caught up to the third heaven to see things that would be in the future. I say what he is experiencing in Revelation chapter 5 will be in the near future. We're headed in that direction. And we'll begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth," or into all the earth. "And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Let's pray. Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for a good Sunday school hour. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good choir singing, the good special singing. We're thankful, Lord, for hearts that have already been touched. And, Lord, some have done business on the altar already. Some done business in the pew. God, we're thankful that, Lord, we're in a place where we can do business with Almighty God. Now, Father, I pray for the next few minutes you'd put a hedge about this place. You'd bind the powers of hell. God, I pray you'd use this unworthy vessel. God, you'd speak to hearts. God, I pray for the saints of God this morning. Many of them are facing a battle or been in a battle. Many of them have been in the sifter. God, I pray you'd speak to their hearts and you'd help them. Lord, as Miss Waters sang that song about He's My Everything, God, I pray you'd be their everything right now. God, I pray if there be one amongst us today, the saved, but Lord, cold and indifferent on God, today'd be the day they'd get right with the Lord, have their fellowship restored, where they too could lift hands toward heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord." Father, I pray for that one that's in the valley. You'd be that lily that he sang about a minute ago. That one in a dry, barren land, you'd be that fountain that he sang about. Father, I pray if there's any amongst us today, lost without God, unsaved, no hope of heaven. God, I pray today the sweet Holy Ghost of God would speak to their hearts. Reveal unto them their lost condition, but reveal unto them there's a loving Savior who'll save them and forgive them of their sin. Set them free from the bondage that they're in today, the bondage of sin. Now, Father, help us today as we celebrate your resurrection. God, I pray you'd resurrect some things around here and send revival in these days. Lord, we bless you and praise you. Thank you for being so good. May you be highly glorified, and we'll thank you for it. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention to three things from this text as a way of introduction. The first thing I want you to see is the weeping one. Look in verse number 1. We didn't read it, but look. The Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look upon. We find John weeping as this great event begins to unfold in heaven in the future, in the near future, Brother James. The seven seals of God about to be broken, and vials of wrath of God's about to be poured on the earth. But this book that contains the information, Brother Phil, is sealed, and no man was found worthy to open the book nor to look upon. Friend, you look around this sanctuary this morning, you'll see no halos in here. Hey, there's no one in here worthy of the things of God. There's no one worthy in heaven in the future worthy of the things of God. And John is weeping because no one's worthy among men, but I've got news. Hallelujah. There is the worthy one. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Look in verse 7. "And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Look at verse number 9. "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book." There is a worthy one. His name is Jesus. He's the one that bled and died on the cross of Calvary. Shed his blood to become the propitiation for our sin. To become our sacrifice, our substitute, to become the Savior of all mankind. He's the one that bled and died, was buried and rose again. He's the one that we worship today. He is worthy. We find the weeping one, the worthy one, and then we see the worshiped one. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, "And I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." He's the worshipped one. Some of you wondered what folks were doing up the altar a minute ago. You saw them come rushing. What are they doing? They was worshiping. They was telling him how wonderful he is. They was telling him, "Thank you for buying me." I'm interested in verse number 6. The Bible says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb." Now I'm going to preach with God's help on "There stood a Lamb." Hallelujah unto God. There stood a Lamb. Hey, what a blessing. The darling Son of God became our Lamb. I'm glad for the Lamb of God today. Hey, they just sang about the Lamb. You can't sing enough about Him. You can't preach enough about Him. You can't exalt Him enough. Hallelujah for the Lamb of God. The Scriptures make a big deal about the Lamb. If we had time, we'd look at Exodus chapter 12, and you'll find the Passover Lamb, where Lamb was to be put up for 10 days, and then His blood was to be shed and they put the blood over the doorpost and over the lintel. Used to at Easter time, they played the Ten Commandments with Charleston Heston on the TV screen. I guess the woke crowd don't like that. But I'm here to tell you, the death angel came to Egypt, and he passed by every door that had the blood over the doorpost, and the firstborn was spared in those homes. I've got news for you. If the blood of the Lamb hasn't been applied over the doorpost of your heart, you're in trouble when the death angel comes. We find the Passover Lamb in John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist, who Jesus says the greatest man born among women, John the Baptist is out baptizing by the River Jordan, and he said this in verse 29. The next day John sees Jesus coming unto him, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." We see the perfect Lamb. He's without spot, without blemish. He came and fulfilled the law of God, and became the perfect Lamb of God for you and I. There was the Passover Lamb and the perfect Lamb. And in Revelation 5, we find the prevailing Lamb. Hallelujah for the Lamb of God. Can I say, first of all, there stood a Lamb willingly. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross for your sin and my sin. He willingly became our Lamb. The Bible said in Revelation 13, 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Before God ever created this world, there was a business meeting in heaven. And God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost were there. They said, "We're going to create the world. We're going to create man. Man's going to be tempted to sin. Man's going to sin. And man will die in his sins unless somebody will pay his sin debt." And there was a willing Lamb who stood up. And Jesus said, "Father, I'll go. I'll pay their sin debt. I'll become the Lamb. I'll shed our perfect blood to be the propitiation for their sin, to redeem them from their sin." Can I say there stood a Lamb willingly? Can I say there stood a Lamb wonderfully? He was wonderful at his birth. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." There stood a Lamb wonderfully. Nobody had a birth like his birth. Hey, can I say, he wasn't born, Brother Jim, like you and I. He didn't have earthly blood like you and I. He was born of a virgin. He just didn't begin 2,000 years ago. He's from the Alpha time. He left heaven, Miss Melissa, stepped into the womb of that virgin maid named Mary, and came forth, born of flesh like you and I. Because Brother Doug, he had to become like us, so one day we could become like him. He became our kinsman redeemer. Nobody's ever had a birth where the angel showed up and the heavenly host showed up and said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Hey, he had a wonderful birth. Can I say this? He had a wonderful baptism. Oh, yes. Now, unlike all the other ones John was baptizing, he was baptizing them for remission of sins. Jesus shows up and John says, "No, you need to baptize me." And Jesus said, "Permit it to be so." In other words, see, in order for Jesus to become the perfect Lamb, he had to fulfill the Scriptures. And in order to fulfill the Scriptures, he had to be baptized. And so he had a wonderful baptism. Matthew 3 tells us in verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lightning upon him, and the voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" Hey, he had a wonderful baptism. His baptism was attended by the Godhead. He's the Son. The Spirit showed up, and the Father showed up and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What a blessing. See, they hadn't been together in 30 years. Matter of fact, when Jesus got up to walk into the womb of Mary, he looked back at the Father and Son. He said, I'll meet you at the river. And there they are. Amen. Had a wonderful baptism. Hey, I'm glad I got baptized. I got baptized in the river. Because I say, my granddaddy was there. My family was there. But God didn't open up the heavens and say anything about me. But he did about Jesus. Because he had a wonderful baptism. He had a wonderful birth. But can I say this? I'm talking about there stood a lamb wonderfully. Can I say? He was wonderful while he was about his Father's business. You see, he came seeking to do the will of his Father that sent him. And while he was here, he was about his Father's business. Now, could I say, we know about his birth. We knew that they fled to Egypt and ended up in Nazareth. Well, we don't know much about him till about 12. And at 12, they come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast, which is what's going on in Jerusalem now, which is why we're having Easter service now. It's all about the Passover. That's why Easter changes every year, because the Jewish calendar is different than the Roman Greco calendar. But can I say something? His family comes, his mother Mary, his stepfather Joseph, his stepbrothers and sisters, they all come with a host of folks to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. Feast is over. Mary and Joseph load up with a caravan, head off, get a day's journey, and realize Jesus isn't with them. Well, where's Jesus? He's where you would find him, at the synagogue. And he's there with all the scholars of his day. And they're asking him questions, and he's dumbfounding them. They say, where are you from? I said, well, it depends. On my mother's side, I was born in Bethlehem. We're living down Nazareth. But on my father's side, I'm from Glory. I said, where'd you get your education? Well, it depends. On my mother's side, I've been learning the trade of a carpenter from my stepfather, Joseph. But on my father's side, I'm Alpha and Omega. I know it all. Say, what are your abilities? Well, on my mother's side, I'm just a 12-year-old boy. I don't have much abilities. But on my father's side, I'm the creator. There's nothing I can't do. They just blown their minds. They say, well, what's it take to get to heaven? Well, on my mother's side, under the law, you got to live righteously. Well, my father's side, you got to come by the Lamb. What is your future? Well, my mother's side, my future is an old rugged cross. But on my father's side, there's a throne at his right hand side, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, I'm Lord of lords and King of kings. But while he was here, he was there at 12 years old. Mary and Joseph get all upset. They go back to Jerusalem now. They got a day away, so now it's 2 days. What horrible parents. We may have beat you on occasion, but we didn't leave you somewhere for 2 days by yourself. Always gave you something to eat and stuff. Mary, of course, is upset. She's worried. Hadn't been there. I can see him leaving you, Xander. No, your mama loves you. Not a whole lot, but she does. She's upset. She comes running into the synagogue. She sees Jesus, and she makes this statement. Your father and I were worried about you. He rebuked her. He said, I'm about my father's business. Are you listening? See, he was wonderful in that he was about his father's business. You know what he did under his father's business? Well, how about this? He made the lame to walk. He caused blinded eyes to be opened where they could see. Can I say this? He healed all manners of diseases, from women that had issues of blood for 12 years to other folks that were sick with palsy and all kinds of other things. No one ever came to Jesus and left the same way. Can I say this? He raised the dead. What a blessing. He cast demons out of folks. He turned water into wine. He took a couple of fishes and hush puppies and five loaves and two fishes, fed a multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children. He confounded all the lawyers and scribes and Pharisees and religious crowd of his day. Can I say he wrote in the sand a few words and he turned the accusers of one woman and asked her where her accuser was. She said, "I have no accuser." He said, "Neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more." Can I say he forgave sins? Can I say this? He was indicted because he became known as the friend of publicans and sinners. He was the Lamb that stood wonderfully. Can I say this? John said this about all of his business that he did while he was on earth. John 21:25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that shall be written." Amen. He gave us a book of 66 books, 1,100 chapters, over 780,000 words in it, and we can't grasp this, let alone everything that he did. There stood a lamb. And can I say this? There stood a lamb wounded. Oh, yeah. There stood a lamb wounded. Oh, he was willing and he was wonderful, but he also was wounded. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 53:5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed." Some of you may have wondered why folks got so excited during the singing, especially them songs about the blood, and why Dr. Phil, who I deemed in Sunday school now as Freaky Phil, was over here clapping his hands and having a spell. How come, Brother Jack, nobody gets upset at a ball game when people clap and jump and throw their hands around? But when we come to church, people get upset if somebody gets a little emotional. Do you know why folks got a little emotional a minute ago, and people were raising their hands, and people were crying, and people were in the altar, and people were clapping, and people were shouting? You know why? Because the Lamb was wounded. Can I say, the Bible said the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, those that got so emotional realized that one day, some 2,000 years ago, the darling Lamb of God, who was sinless, who never even had a bad thought, Brother James, he was tempted in all points like us, yet he was without sin. He came before the religious crowd, and they hated him so much. Because of his righteousness, he rebuked their lives. They didn't like it. They had had control on religion, and he come and he upset their apple cart. They didn't like it. So they brought him up on some false charges. They tried him at night, which actually breaks the law. They wanted him crucified. The Passover, just before Passover, they'd always crucify people. They wanted him crucified. So they led him to a place called the Hall of Praetorium, where they beat him with a cat of nine tails, a leather whip. Had all kinds of bone fragments and pottery fragments and metal fragments, and they ripped the flesh off of the darling Son of God as he was tied up to a whipping post. They platted a crown of thorns upon his brow, not these little thorns on rose bushes. I'm talking about spikes. And it peeled the very flesh off of his brow. They plucked his beard out. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They blindfolded him. And they punched him. And tempted him to prophesy who it was that was punching him. And they beat him almost to an inhumane level that where Isaiah said his visage was marred much more than a man. He didn't even resemble a human being. Then they put an old rugged cross upon his back. The timber of that cross weighed about 125 pounds. His back already beaten, wide open. He carried that cross up the Via Della Rosa 2 miles. Laid that cross down. He didn't fight them. He just laid down on top of it. And they nailed him to the cross, and they suspended him between heaven and earth. Stripped him naked. He's there in an open shame. The darling Son of God was beaten beyond recognition and died in an open shame because he loved you. And he knew, Brother James, that if he didn't die that death, little old boy from Independence, Kentucky, James Byrd, would die and go to hell. Because you was born a sinner, Josh. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't merit the favor of God. You couldn't do anything to earn God's love. But God loved you anyway. He said, the only way that Josh can ever be a part of my family, my son has to die for him. You wonder why people get excited? Because we should have been on that cross. And we should have died. We should have went to hell and paid for our own sins. But one day the darling Son of God said, no, I'll pay for their sins. And he died on that cross and said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And he paid for your sin and my sin. Took the handwriting of ordinances against us. Nailed them to his cross and took them out of the way. I'm guilty, but I've been set free. I deserve to die, but I'm going to live. Hey, I bless the name of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who died for my sin. He was the wounded lamb. Isaiah 53:6 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brother Bob, every filthy, vile sin you'd ever commit or think about, he took on himself. Every filthy sin I'd ever do or think about, he took upon himself. And every filthy, vile sin of all the world and all mankind, he took upon himself. Amen. And what wounded him most, when he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the Father broke fellowship with the Son because the Son became sin. The Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became the wounded lamb. Hallelujah. I'm glad the story doesn't stop there. He wasn't only the wonderful lamb and the wounded lamb. There stood a wondrously lamb. He stood wondrously. Hey, sang about it. Stole my thunder. 3 days and three nights, Jesus is in the tomb. By the way, had to borrow that tomb. Isn't it amazing? He that owns it all had to borrow a tomb. Joseph of Arimathea laid him in that tomb where never a man had been. The Romans sealed it up with two Roman centurions because those that crucified him said, hey, he said he'd rise again. We're going to need to make sure that don't happen. Need to make sure his disciples don't come steal him away. So they sealed it up with a stone and put two guards on it. And for 3 days and three nights, hell was having a party. There was a jubilee. They're singing, ding dong, the witch is dead. I mean, they're having themselves a time thinking, we did it! We did it! We killed him! We're going to take over! Hey, it's all about us! So early that resurrection morning when there's a knock on hell's door. One of them imps go running over and say, who is it? It's me. Who are you? The lamb. That imp looked at Satan and said, I believe the door's for you. So what happened? He kicked open the door. Satan sitting there looking at the lamb. And Satan begins to tremble. So that's what he always does in the presence of the Lamb. And the Lamb said, I want the keys. And the devil, on bended knee, reached up and gave him the keys to death, the keys to hell, and the keys to the grave. Hey, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house. And Jesus walked out of that grave that day. Hey, rolled back the stone, walked out wondrously. And he lives. He lives. He lives. He told John, I'm he that was dead. Now I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. He's alive. He's alive. Bless the holy name of Jesus. He's alive today. He's the wondrous Lamb. For 2,000 years they've tried to lie about him not getting out of the grave, but I got news for you, he still is. They sent some scientists over there a few years ago to test that grave, and they came out after doing all kinds of testing, spent all kinds of our tax dollars, came out and said this: never a man decayed in that grave. Well, I could have told you that. He only borrowed it for 3 days and three nights. He just changed his wardrobe in there. Came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Hey, he's the wondrous Lamb. And Mary and them women showed up there that first resurrection morning. The angel said, I know you seek Jesus. He said, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. Amen. What a blessing. He's the wondrous Lamb. I get excited because my Savior, death couldn't hold him. Grave couldn't keep him. He said before he went to the cross, I have the power to lay down my life and take it up again. You know what's exciting about that? Those of us that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, we die out to sin. But we're raised in newness of life. The grave couldn't keep him. It won't keep us. I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. There's a better day coming, Brother Bob, Miss Sonny. They sing that song. And I say, he was the Lamb that stood wondrously. I thought about this. He's the Lamb that stood welcomely. Y'all remember Stephen? Acts chapter 7. He's preaching them stiff-necked, hard-of-heart Jews that crucified Jesus. And he's telling them, that Jesus, Son of God, you crucified, but he rose again. They didn't like it. Boy, they got rushing on him, chewing on him, gnashing on him with their teeth, took him outside the city and began to stone him. This is what he said, Acts 7, verse 55. I mean, they're bouncing rocks off his head. Said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, verse 59, calling upon God, saying, Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, why is that significant? Well, the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Well, here it says he's standing. Why? Because of John chapter 14. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. It's not Peter at the gate. It's not some angel. Every saint of God that goes home to glory, Jesus stands to receive them. He welcomes you home. Hey, there stands a Lamb welcoming you home. Can I say this? There stood a Lamb wooing. John 12:32 says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. As we come to church, we're presented with the Lamb, something starts happening in our heart. If you're here today and you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you haven't understood a whole lot of what's going on. You said something about them people are crazy. Some of them clap, some of them jump, some of them shout. And that preacher, all he does is holler and scream and chew people out, and they all love it. There's something wrong with all that. But while you're sitting here, You may have come because somebody invited you, but while you're sitting here, something inside your heart starts taking place. And what you don't know is the Holy Ghost of God's trying to make you a little uncomfortable and let you know that Jesus died for you. We call that conviction. He's wooing you. He's drawing you to Himself. You're not here by any accident or chance. So somebody invited me. My family wanted me to come with them today. Well, that's not by accident or chance. God predetermined for you to be here today. He knew you'd be here. He's just trying to get you to believe on Him. Because, Miss Jackie, Jesus tasted death for every man. He don't want anybody to die and go to hell. That's why He went to the cross. And on this Easter Sunday morning, He may be wanting you to realize you need to be saved from your sin and that He died for you. Say, preacher, does anybody really get saved on Easter Sunday morning? I probably wouldn't be here today if somebody hadn't got saved on an Easter Sunday morning. My grandpa used to walk the family to church, and then he'd go to the bar across the street. Well, the church got to praying for him. And then he'd walk across the street, Brother Jim, but he couldn't go in the bar. He'd just pace. Finally, he told my grandmother on Easter Sunday he'd go to church with her. Sat in the back row. And the Lord started moving in that service, Miss Mary, and he decided he couldn't take it no more. He's getting up and going out. But instead of going out and turning left, he turned right. And he met the Lord that day. Then the Lord called him to preach. He pastored the same church about 33 years. My Aunt Lynn brought me one of his Bibles this morning. Hallelujah. I'll be preaching out of that for long, huh? Had my granddaddy not got saved on that Easter Sunday morning, who knows what would ever happen with me? Say, what are you trying to say? Yeah, folks do meet the Lord. What better day to meet the Lord than on Resurrection Sunday? He's a wooing lamb. Let me say this, I'll be done. We already said He's the worthy lamb, but there stood a lamb worthily. Psalms 18:3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He is worthy because of His creative work. Everything that you see, He made. He even made you. He's worthy for His conquering work. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's worthy for His converting work. He takes an old sinner and converts them, makes them a saint, a child of God. He takes away their sin, makes them a new creature in Christ. Friend, if you're lost, He wants to do that with you. He's worthy for His converting work. He's worthy for His coming work. Because He's coming. We're already seated in heavenly places, but He's coming, and one of these days, I'm going to catch up with where I'm seated. And He's worthy for His completed work. On the cross of Calvary, He said, "It is finished." In Revelation 21, He says, "It is done." He finished the will of God on the cross. He's going to finish the work of God one of these days in the future. He's the worthy lamb. One of these days He'll stand weighing. All judgments have been committed to Him, and everybody will stand and give an account to Jesus Christ. The saved at the judgment seat of Christ, the lost at the great white throne judgment. And He will weigh us in accordance to what we did with Him. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 through 5, you find lamb mentioned one time in each of those verses. In verse 3, you'll find it mentions a lamb. In verse 4, you'll find it mentions the lamb. But in verse 5, it mentions your lamb. It's an undisputable fact that He is the Lamb. The only question this morning, is He your Lamb? Do you know the Lamb of God as your Lord and Savior? Say, preacher, I don't know how to be saved. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite you to come. And if you come, we'll get somebody to take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about being saved and how you can know the Lord as your Lord. You can be saved today from your sin. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter. Jesus already paid for it. The preacher, would God save me? The Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, said that he was the chief of sinners, and God saved him. If God can save the chief, he can save all of us little engines, I'm telling you. God save me, he'd save you. He can save you, friend, from your sin. Say, preacher, I just don't fully understand. You come. We'll take all the time necessary to show you what it takes to be saved. You might be here and you might be saved. You might have believed on the Lord, but you're out of fellowship with him. Why don't you get back in fellowship with him today? Today would be a great day. It's what revival's about. Getting back in the will of God. He loves you and he misses your fellowship. I mean, he died for you. He misses your fellowship. He loves you so much. Why don't you come? Maybe you've got another need this morning. You know what? The Lamb's able to meet every need. Why don't you just bring it to him? Put it in his hands and let him have it. You'll be amazed what he can do with it. But the question is he your Lamb? He is the Lamb, but is he your Lamb? I'm glad 47 years ago, 2 weeks ago, I celebrate 47 years of knowing the Lamb. And there's nothing like him. And I sure would like to see him be your Lamb as well. Oh, why don't you come to Jesus today? Let's all stand. I tell you what, Brother Daniel, why don't you come? Just play something, pick out something, sing something, whatever you feel led to do. As he's coming. Folks are coming to the altar. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful you're our Lamb. We're glad for the day you stood to convict me of sin, and one day you'll stand to receive me to glory. We bless your holy name. Lord, I've tried to the best of my ability just to preach what you put on my heart, and Lord, I come way short. God, I pray you take my ineptness and you'd speak to hearts now. God, I hope and trust that everybody in this building is saved and knows the Lord. But God, I fear that not everybody does. God, if there's somebody here today not saved, I pray they'd come, give their heart and life to Jesus. Somebody just feels lost in this world, confused in this world. They can see this world's in a mess. They don't know what to do with it. Help them to come. Give their heart to Jesus. Maybe somebody here today saved, but their life's not clean. They're not where they need to be. God, I pray they'd just go ahead and get that taken care of today. Get back in fellowship with you. God, maybe there's somebody else who's speaking their heart about something. God, I just pray your perfect will be done in this invitation. Help us, Father, to appreciate the Lamb of God and to live accordingly. Bless now. Speak to hearts. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, head on over to ibcflorence.com and click on sermons. And don't forget to check out our other links in the notes section of today's broadcast. As always, thanks for listening.